Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, dig it. Stop right on.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Sam?
Good morning, Earl. I'm good. How was your weekend?
Weekend was great, but we need to make an announcement before we move any further. On my way in this morning, there was just a horrible, horrible traffic backup. What is that, 41?
Yeah, I-41.
I-41, if you can avoid it, by all means, I would suggest that you do. If you have somewhere to be, and you need to leave early because it is backed up horribly. And my good friend Sandy is caught up in that traffic. He'll be coming soon. But that's the first time I got caught up in that.
I was like, where are you? You're normally really early, but it sounds like an accident on top of all of those traffic delays that have been going on and getting worse. So again, thank you for the heads up, Earl. If you're traveling on I-41, definitely make sure to take your time, leave a little early, and stay safe out there.
Yeah, there's no question it is pretty bad. And, I didn't get to see any accident. Didn't want to see one, but it was so congested, so backed up. And you know the worst part about it is when you know something is not right, there's nowhere for you to go. But people are just trying to, if they can get an inch further, just stay where you are.
Yeah.
We're all in this together, right? So if we're all in it together, what's the point in, if you can get a couple inches, so you squeeze into the next lane, and then in that lane you're in, it's going to stop. And then so you leave that lane. I'm just watching people. People are nuts. And so that same person who just squeezed over in that lane, well, then they're waiting, 2 minutes later. They're going back to the lane that they left. I mean, listen, we all have somewhere to be.
Yeah, no lane is the fast lane in that situation. Sorry.
No. But you just see, and that really creates, people are just, we're something else, right? The majority of the people are doing the right thing. We're waiting. There's nowhere to go. You don't have to know there's an accident ahead of you when you know that you're on the expressway or the freeway, that the speed limit is 70 miles an hour, and you're stopped. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand if the speed limit is 70 and we're like a parking lot, something happened up ahead.
Crazy, right? Idea. Crazy.
Yeah. It really is something about who we are. And you learn so much when there's situations that occur, how we handle those situations. And, just be careful, be cautious, take your time and get there safely. Because the last thing you need when things are that backed up, Sam, it's what? Another accident.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what happens, too. Everyone's in a hurry.
But. Yeah, everybody's in a hurry. So anyway, I wanted to, we're going to have a guest on today. It's Monday, so that means Mondays with Sandy Williams, and I don't consider Sandy a guest. He's part of what we're doing here. And we might as well call it the Sandy and Earl Show. And I enjoy having him on so much, and he and I are going to share a lot of information with you today. But I'm going to be joined. We're going to be joined in the 9 o'clock hour by Mr. Willie Hines, who is the president of the Housing Authority of the City of Milwaukee. We're going to have a great conversation with him. A lot of other things to talk about, but I want to begin the show by, if there's someone out there who can explain to me, you know, why the rural community has decided to just, you know, turn totally to the right, where Republicans, rural people have just decided that being a Republican is the best way for me to go, when there was a time not too long ago when the real rural communities were blue and Democrats could count on the rural communities to you know, support them. And clearly I understand why, you know, the Democrats could get the blue collar vote, because the rural communities were communities were considered to be blue collar. And so they went from being blue collar to, you know, people used to look at the Republican vote as a white collar vote and the Democrats as a blue collar vote. But the rural areas did not become white collar voters. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you can help me figure out why all of a sudden, you know, Republican rural counties have now turned into, you know, red counties. I mean, they used to be blue. And I'm going to talk a little bit, as we get into this, a metric that is so alarming that you figure that there's no way possible that these red counties are ever going to go back blue. And if that's the case, then it doesn't seem to be any way possible that Democrats are going to be able to continue to control the House or the Senate. Is going to get progressively worse. And let me begin with this stat. Back in 1996, when Bill Clinton became the president of the United States, he won 1,117 counties. 1,117 counties, many of them rural. 12 years later, Barack Obama was only able to claim 455 counties. From 1,117 counties, Republican counties, Bill Clinton, was able to claim 1,117 of those Republican counties. 12 years later, Barack Obama was only able to claim 455. And then another 12 years later, Joe Biden only was able to control 194 of those counties. Somebody explain to me what happened. Sam, who do we have on the line?
First up, we have Robert calling in from West Dallas.
Hey, Robert, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. Can you explain how Democrats went from 1996, 1,117 counties, Republican counties, to now 2020, 194? What happened?
It starts with 92, in Clinton's first term, right? We have NAFTA. It sells a lot of workers down the tubes, right? I remember on the campaign trail talked about that sucking sound. That was all the jobs that were going to leave the United States. He was right about that, wasn't he? The other thing is they had a big marriage with big business, right? With all the lobbyists, with the financial sector. Think of how many people have been hurt from that with the financial crisis, right? And the third thing is they're terrible at messaging, right? Look at the CRT debate. So you have 20 years of Fox News going on TV, putting propaganda out, half-truths and things taken out of context. And you have these people that are brainwashed. In the same time, they didn't develop an alternative source of media. There's no media apparatus. You guys are unique that, you know, there's radio stations out here that are actually getting some real information out. But there's no national TV network or radio network, you know, carrying, you know, alternative points of view. So, you know, with the lack of that, you have thousands of stations that are, you know, all carrying people like, you know, Rush Limbaugh or Tucker Carlson. But, I mean, look at the CRT debate. You know, you have this guy, he comes out and saying there's all these things that are CRT that aren't CRT. So unless your third grader is getting a law degree, no, they're not learning about the structural inequalities and redlining and housing. But, you know, with their talking points, they're able to take these things out of context. And look at how poorly the other side has done messaging back, you know, what reality is. The reality is they don't want to see systematic change, whether it's in policing or in other forms of inequality.
Let me do this. Let me get you to hold that thought, and the rest of you on the lines, please hang on. Sandy Williams has made it in. It's good to see him. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Early News Show. Be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Early News Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. It's good to see Sandy has made it in.
Yeah, that was quite a traffic jam. You figure in the freeway out in Waukesha, there wouldn't be that kind of dead stop, but that's what we had.
Yeah, and so it's good to see you. Let's go back to the phones. What's the gentleman's name again?
Robert from West Dallas.
All right, Robert from West Dallas. Robert, you were explaining why rural areas have switched to Republicans.
Yeah, so we already went through some of those other topics, but look at the CRT debate. It's where I was. You know, look at how poorly they've done on messaging. So someone takes what it is out of context and labels anything that's objectionable to them. You know, facts and history, things that really happen. And instead of having a debate like after George Floyd of, well, maybe it's not a good thing if police shoot unarmed people in the back, right? Instead of having that debate, the debate they want to have is, no, the problem is the teachers, right? That, you know, these kids are being exposed to all of this stuff that's making them feel bad. So, I mean, it's just a lot of window dressing. So the Democratic debate, the response should have been, no, you guys are doing this because you don't want systematic change. Instead, their response was, well, it's not CRT. That's a legal thing or a graduate thing. They should have instead called it out for what it was. They basically were trying to do smoke and mirrors, so they didn't actually have to do any reform or address any of the fundamental issues of policing. And that was their mechanism to do that. Instead, you have all of these parents whipped up into a frenzy, you know, acting belligerent at school board meetings because they've been misinformed on what the topic is. And the messaging on the other side has been so pathetic, they've won the debate. Everyone thinks CRT is a bad thing, and it's about making, you know, white children feel bad about who they are rather than what they're trying to do.
Hey, my friend, thank you very much, as always. Great
thank
stuff.
You.
Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I think you're right on about the messaging. I think the Democratic Party has both missed the boat on how it describes what it's interested in, but maybe also missed the boat on what it's been pursuing. You know, and I think it started most clearly in the Hillary Clinton campaign when it became so very clear that the campaign was very urban specific. Barack Obama tried very hard to make sure that he was focused on things beyond city issues. He focused on some poverty areas in the Appalachians and other areas of the country. And I think the Democratic Party became so focused on what it viewed as its sweet spot, which was cities, that the rural population felt that the party had given up on it, and maybe it sort of did. And then furthermore, I think the party's been very bad at dealing with how it talks about issues. And I would agree with you that allowing CRT, number one, to be called critical race theory and to talk about it in that regard was to lose the discussion right out of the chute. And the Republican Party is remarkably good at messaging, spelled with a P that sounds like propaganda. But, you know, they're remarkably good at having five or six issues that they talk about over and over again and changing the country's mood. I mean, they took police violence and turned it into a revolution of school boards and local school board elections, which were all about supposedly critical race theory, which was designed as a deflected story to deflect from violence in the city and police violence.
Let's go to Bill from McConnell, Milwaukee. Bill, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Thank you so much for what you do. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Thank you so much for what you do. Anyhow, here's the problem. Fox is just a sea of misinformation because the caller before me talked about it. But here's how we deal with them. We take Fox head on. I've been on with Hannity. Crute's been on Fox. We got to get people to go to Fox and take them head on. They're nothing but misinformation. Hundreds of thousands of people have died because of their misinformation. Hundreds of thousands of people have bought into that Stop the Steal crap when even the judges said there's nothing there. People buy into it. And the reason the rural people buy into it, they're not as, I believe they're not, they don't have the social culture that, say, an urban person has. So they're not, you know, they're not conversing with people. They're not learning. Plus, in Wisconsin, our real rural culture is a very poor culture, very poor, very uneducated, very fearful, very.
This is Sandy. Let me cut you off a minute.
I think
the way you're verbalizing this is one of the problems that the liberals and the Democratic Party might have, in that people verbalize a problem between city and rural folk the way you just did, to describe the rural population as maybe less educated,
misinformed,
less sophisticated, unlearned. That's not really even true of the rural population of Wisconsin. I just think that they are addressing a different set of concerns than the urban population, and they might have a different form of anger that drives them into the arms of people who stroke them and nurture their anger. But I think we have to be careful when we describe the various populations. Hillary Clinton ran into a real problem when she described people
deplorables,
which you're not describing them as deplorables, but I think what you're describing is maybe equally insulting.
Oh, thank you for sharing that with me. I look to people like you and Earl to correct me, and I mean it, because I look up to both of you guys.
Well, thank
but
you.
But I do try and educate people that are leaning to the right, and not. My motto is educate, don't alienate. So maybe listening to you more, you're going to help me get a format that I can discuss with people without.
Hey Bill.
Thanks.
We know what kind of guy you are. You're a good guy, man. Thank you very much for the call. But you know, Sandy. Does the rural population believe that Republicans somehow are going to be the answer to what ails them? Because I would then go and say, well, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Republicans were in control of all of those things, and did they answer the issues
that
the rural population had to deal with?
I think maybe the rural population got to feel so alienated and so angry that they were making their decisions more along the lines of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And when Donald Trump decided to take on the establishment and to take on the urban, the sort of the urban psychology directly, he became a champion of their view of things, which was that the urban psychology was abandoning them and leaving them adrift, and basically blaming them on the fact that they were being ignored and their and the suffering they were experiencing. They were doing it alone.
But Sandy, how do you then turn that around? As I said, Bill Clinton won 1,117 counties. Barack Obama, 455 Republican counties. And Joe Biden, 194. How are you going to turn that around?
Well, I mean, I think that there was some. There have been some articles recently, in fact, this weekend, looking at the Wisconsin so-called gerrymandering problem. And obviously, we do have gerrymandering, where we've got a 50-50 statewide political split between Democrats and Republicans, pretty much. And we've got a state assembly that's going to be 63 or 64 out of 100 Republicans. But a lot of that problem relates to the urban-rural split and the fact that the blue vote, the Democratic vote, is so highly concentrated in urban areas in a tight geographic area such that you end up with overwhelmingly Democratic districts that then basically hand over to a bunch of other districts Republican control. I think the Democratic Party has to do a better job of realizing that these rural folk have plenty of issues to be addressed, which are would be more properly addressed, not by the Republican Party, but by the Democratic Party.
Let's go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams is Mondays here. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number as Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams, and it's always great to have Sandy in. But this conversation is a conversation that is so critically important to the outcomes of whether or not Democrats are going to be able to secure rural voters ever again.
Well, I think it's vital they do because
question it's vital, but can they get it done?
Well, the gerrymandering issue is not going to be resolved in the favor of solving for this problem, because the problem has much more to do with the demographics of the concentration of the blue votes in urban areas. And so some of this county problem that you're describing in terms of the number of county votes is exactly that same problem. Those counties aren't gerrymandered. They have the same lines year in and year out.
Right.
So that really shows you that the so-called gerrymandering is more an issue of concentration.
You know, Sandy, the urban community can say, and there really is a divide between the urban community and the rural community, because the urban community is saying, hey, wait a minute, you're not doing enough in our communities. Look at our condition, and we continue to vote for you. Hey, guess what? If you don't do something, we're not going to vote for you. So they're caught.
Well, but the rural white folks have that same complaint, you know.
That's correct.
Because they're marooned economically in the same fashion that the urban poor are marooned. So, you know, I think that the Democratic Party has a very strong vested interest in overcoming racism, because as you and I said off the air there a moment ago, some of this split between rural and urban is the rural concern about and the fears they have that are race related, and I'm not saying that they are individually racist, but they have a problem because they perceive the cities as being the cauldron of problems, and they view many of those problems when they look at it from afar as being race based.
And I'll tell you, the urban center is saying, hey, wait a minute. You're blaming our community, and we only make up a small percentage of the overall population of the state and the country.
Right.
And yet you're pointing the finger at us and saying, hey, we're the problem. So the Democrats do have they're caught between the proverbial rock and a hard place, but you can't stick your head in the sand, Sandy. You've got to address that.
But you just also identified a political demographic, because the Democratic Party has made it relatively implicitly clear that they view a backbone of their strength to be basically people of color. And if you view that as being black, then their backbone is actually a very significant portion of urban areas, but a very much less, almost insignificant portion of the national population, right? So
yes.
you've got 10% of the national population steering, as far as maybe the white rural vote is concerned, steering the boat on this Democratic Party.
So your point is well taken, but here's the other side of that coin. The country is divided down the middle, on the white side, Republicans and Democrats. And so the urban centers have always been kind of the people who were able to push the Democrats over the top.
Actually, I'm not sure that
Not anymore.
I think if you take the white population, they aren't split 50-50 anymore, because the Democratic Party, it probably is true demographically that people of color, Latino and black voters, make up a significant backbone of the Democratic Party. And so if the country is 50-50 Democrat-Republican, then I think it's pretty safe to say that the Republican Party is not 50-50 Democrat-Republican.
The white
vote is not 50-50 Democrat-Republican.
And here's the other side of that equation, Sandy. Yes, the Democratic Party has always relied on that black vote, because my parents and my generation would never, ever, ever vote Republican under any circumstances. Didn't matter. We would always vote Democrat. But now our children, a different story. Many of the generations that have come after mine, millennials, they're saying, we're not just going to vote Democratic just for the sake of voting Democratic. They've got to show us something.
Well, when you look at the history, before Lyndon Johnson, the Democratic Party was a Dixiecrat
right.
party, but it still did have the black vote. But if you got into asking why, you'd have to scratch your head and say, well, it's not clear why, because the black vote wasn't really voting their interest, because the Democratic Party was basically union-ruled at that point, and the unions were a relatively racially insensitive group, right? That was ruled as well by the Daily Machine and people like that, who were not racially sensitive either. So there was a long time up until Lyndon Johnson was basically the nominal head of the Democratic Party, that the Democratic Party didn't represent the interest of the black vote that was strongly tied to them. After that, for the window of time after Lyndon Johnson, now you do have a party that is much more focused on supporting the rights of, but not delivering very many benefits to.
Well, that's why, you know, every time I'd hear Republicans say to me, hey, even now, hey, do you know we're the party who freed the slaves? I said, not you guys.
Yeah, that's not
the Republicans who did that wasn't the Republicans of today. So let's stop acting like, you know, that's what occurred. You guys are completely different than that party.
Well, both parties have evolved significantly from what they were to what they are.
Yeah, and then the other thing I would say, Sandy, is Republicans are shrewd, and they do know that there are many young, educated blacks who don't think that the Democratic Party has been fair to young, educated blacks, and that there hasn't been spots for them in the Democratic Party. And so many are switching over to the Republican Party, like many Latinos are switching over to the Republican Party. So the Democrats are faced with a horrific future, to be quite frank with you.
Well, I think most of that switching that you're talking about is the frustration with the inability of government to deliver. And I do think that the people who are frustrated with government are people who are tending to move toward the Republican Party. The Republican Party is a party that runs essentially against government, and the Democratic Party is the one that runs for government solutions to things. And it's interesting because in the political process, there's only two things you can do. You can either get rid of government, or you can change and use government for the solution to problems. And only if you adopt the Reagan view that government is the problem, is getting rid of government a solution to any problem. So, I think to be honest with you, it's a ill-informed anger at government that is causing frustration with government that is causing young people of color, Latinos and others, to decide that the Republican Party is more interesting and supportive of them.
Well, Sandy, the folly in that way of thinking is there's only a Democratic Party and a Republican Party, and if government is not working, to say that government is not working solely because of the Democrats is, you know, that's kind of out there.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not seeing people.
No,
say,
I'm not talking about
I,
you.
I'm talking
about the people.
Well, the Republicans.
Yeah.
Because the Republicans basically, and, you know, in the last while, the Republicans have definitely been a do-nothing party, right?
Yeah.
So it's if you blame the government for doing nothing, then the Republicans are at fault. If you blame the government for what it does, then the Democrats are at fault. And I think that the Republicans have been relatively good at their messaging of claiming that the government itself is doing harm.
So let's do this. Who do we have on the line?
CJ's calling from Stoughton.
All right. Go ahead, CJ. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. All rural people have to do is look at the performance of the Democrats. We're living in the Democrat world.
CJ, weren't we living in a Republican world not long ago? Wasn't Donald Trump the president? What changed in the rural community during his time?
Well, you might know that farms are a business, and we Democrats raise interest rates.
Wait a minute, CJ. CJ, the Democrats haven't raised interest rates. Who's raised the interest rates?
What is inflation? Just watch them now, Sandy. Watch them now. They're going to go up. Inflation won't stop till interest is higher than the GDP or inflation rate. So what is inflation right now, Sandy? What is inflation last month?
Well, you tell me, what was the core inflation last month?
It has never
reached 9, and the core inflation rate, if you take energy, it was 8.7. If you take, is that your response to discuss? Is laughter the right response?
You haven't let me give a response. I'm still giving my response. How about the fact that the Democrats, it took COVID, people doing homeschooling to see
CJ, again, you're changing the subject, CJ.
I'm talking on all the subjects that you guys raised.
Hey, CJ, we haven't gotten on all those subjects. We were focusing on one.
I got notes, Earl. I heard you talk this morning. And
I said something about COVID.
Had Robert on from West Dallas, CRT, remember? You know what? We found out during COVID that CRT was being taught. Well, Virginia took care of that because Terry McAuliffe said, you know what? Parents shouldn't be involved in kids' education. Well, they got wiped out, and the red wave is coming, and thank God for it. Because 85% of kids cannot read at their grade level in Milwaukee.
I know. We keep hearing that every time you're on the line.
So
yeah, well, it's a fact, isn't it, Earl?
Get some new material, CJ.
CJ, do you know about the Scopes trial?
Oh, I don't give a crap about the Scopes trial. I'm talking about 85% of them kids in Milwaukee.
Well, I was just raising the question of the extent to which politicians should set up the curriculum for schools. I just wondered what is your training for setting the curriculum
about,
in schools?
About,
I mean, have you been trained in education? Do you think you are the best person to determine what ought to be in a curriculum for school?
I know your party's failing it.
Well, no. The Democratic Party.
What was the name of the bill? What was the name of the bill in Florida?
Don't know. Gotta run. Gotta go. See you later. We'll be back. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
I don't know.
Gosh. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, we attempt to allow, you know, all callers, unlike conservatives. Can you imagine if a Democratic person like CJ called a conservative radio station? Number one, he wouldn't get past the screener. I'd happen to know a little bit about conservative radio stations. I used to be on them all the time. But certainly, CJ would never get past the screener because he's never on topic. And really, he's, to be quite frank with you, he's just not, you know, capable.
Well, let's
stay on topic.
Well, but the fact is that CJ does probably represent.
Yeah, he does.
A fair number the way a fair number of people feel. I would express. I asked him before about his anger. I do think that he's a person who probably is basically angry with government. If we asked him to list all the things that the Republican Party has enacted that has actually benefited him personally, he'd probably have a very short list to provide because most of the benefits have gone to people. Well, I don't know. CJ might be a person of very substantial means, but if he's not, then the Republican Party hasn't done much good for him. So I think his strong feelings are held by many people, and it's the people who are frustrated with the way things are. Okay, and the people who seem to be frustrated with status quo want to basically pursue and back a party that is totally stuck in the status quo.
You know, Sandy, there's no question that CJ is a microcosm of MAGA people. You know, you still got all these people who still following around Donald Trump. He's not the president anymore, but what he represents and what he stands for, there's so many people like CJ, and listen, you're not going to change those people. I get that. I understand that. They have made up their minds that this is the way they see the country, and this is the way they want the country to go, and they fail to understand the country is made up of all. It's a melting pot. That's what America is, right? America is a melting pot. This is the only place on earth where you see Chinamen, you know, the Greeks, Africans, Mexicans, you know, it's a melting pot of people. So to somehow, and you go to other nations, you won't see that. So, but you can't expect it to be the way you see it because you're European when it's the nation is made up of everybody. And where we're stuck, Sandy, is we've got a group of European Americans who are saying, well, we want it this way. That's not what America is.
Well, I know, but I do think that this group that you've described, this sort of European Judeo-Christian, is those people view themselves as embodying what is America.
I know, that's correct.
So they aren't able really to embrace this concept of melting pot or immigrants, even though all of their forebears were immigrants. They were all European immigrants.
Right.
And so somehow America became an extension of Europe. It was sort of an extension of Europe demographically. And suddenly now it's not. And these people are, and it's not sudden, it's been gradual.
Right.
But now we're at the cusp of it becoming much more apparent. And so these people are frightened by that prospect because at the same time, their grip in the economy and the economy at large has become much more volatile.
But wouldn't you say at some point in time they're going to have to accept the reality that because they view it that way, they are only a segment of
yes.
the nation?
Well,
so then are they saying that the rest of the nation has to conform to what their views are?
Well, let's do this in a way that actually reflects CJ. Those people are going to recognize it, but they're only going to do it kicking and screaming.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
And so that's really what we're seeing when we talk to someone like CJ. He's really kicking and screaming about these issues, trying to figure out who he's angry at and why he's so angry, and how it is that it's the fault that this movement from what they're used to what it's going to be is the fault of somebody.
Let's try to squeeze a caller in. Who do we have?
Craig's calling from Waukesha.
Hey, Craig, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good. I've listened to the whole segment that you've done. I think it's an important issue that you've raised.
Thank you.
But, you know, I've heard they're frustrated, they're frightened. Rural voters are not well-educated. They're not intelligent.
You didn't hear that from us.
You didn't hear that from us.
No, but some of your people have called in and said that.
No, only, and they're not my people. Only one person called in, and that was, he was corrected, and he accepted it. So go ahead.
Okay, but Sandy just said that the rural voters are frustrated and frightened. Sandy said that.
I did say that. I didn't say rural voters. I said the people for whom the world is changing, and I was talking at that point not about rural voters. I was talking about essentially the white Judeo-Christian bloc that is a big part of America, who sees America shifting and becoming different.
Okay, I know you've got short time, let me just say this, that I think there's a simpler explanation, and the explanation is this. At least this is one possibility. Is it could be that the people in the rural areas, although, you know, 50 years, 40 years ago, they were inclined to be voting Democrat, they have seen what's happened in those areas where Democrats have been able to come into control and govern for extended periods, places like Milwaukee, Seattle, San Francisco, L.A., Chicago. This demonstrates the ability of Democrats to govern in an effective way and take, well, unfortunately, have taken great cities, and now people are leaving there. Maybe it's that rural people see what Democrats have been able to do, and they don't want that to happen to them. That's a possibility.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a chicken and egg issue, and we could get into that discussion about whether the chicken or the egg comes first. But, you know, one of the reasons that the cities have the problems they have is that they have a large and concentrated impoverished population, and they have the race issue to deal with within the boundaries of their cities, the non-homogeneous concept that is apparently difficult for the United States to swallow. We talk about it. We talk the talk, but we don't really walk the walk very well. So, it is clear that cities have more social problems potentially than rural areas, but cities are areas of dense concentration and dense concentrations of poverty, and also the place where the racial differences are clear and obvious. So, I think that you've identified something that might be true, but I don't think it's because Democrats are the ones who are controlling cities. I think cities are viewed as places where there are social problems that don't exist in the rural areas.
And those social problems are there because industry left, right? I mean, those things didn't exist.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Those social problems are there for a lot of reasons, including that industry left.
And mainly because of that.
I'm sorry, what?
At the root of it is that.
Yeah, I mean, the number of jobs that Milwaukee lost from 1970 to 1985 is astronomic, actually, and it marooned a whole lot of people who had actually moved to Milwaukee, being lured to Milwaukee for the jobs that were being offered to them by these industries that then pulled up shop and moved or went out of business.
Hey, look, I wish I had more time, but thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Yeah. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.